Last night, though, I watched something else. Actually, the previous two nights, I watched something else.
Man, he watched it. He liked it so much, he watched it twice.
That's not entirely true.
Oh, well, why did you watch it twice?
The first night, I've been drinking a little bit.
On a Tuesday.
What are you doing here?
At home, just
at
sitting
home.
Around drinking.
Whoa.
The Sea Cow influence.
God, man.
You haven't been the same since Ticket Stock.
I know. But I figured I better watch it again last night.
Sober.
Just to make sure I absorbed as much of it as I possibly could. So, I watched the second in the Star Wars series last night, The Empire Strikes Back.
What most call the crown jewel of the Star Wars first trilogy.
Now, let's revisit quickly. For those of them that don't know, those of you that don't know, Mike is reviewing the Star Wars trilogy. And he did, what, the first one about a month ago?
Yeah, thereabouts.
And what was your overview? He was like, it's okay.
It's okay.
Did you? I think it was before Christmas, wasn't it, that he watched this?
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's been less than a year.
Yes.
I've been drinking since then, so I can't remember. And you didn't think it was great. You didn't think it sucked.
Yeah, it was okay. It had a certain charm to it. Mm-hmm. I kind of...
You could see why people liked it.
Yeah, I kind of get why people like it. I don't know if I get why it causes the level of fanaticism that it does, but okay. I mean, this whole genre is not really my bag to begin with.
Yeah, but it's also place and time. It was a cultural phenomenon at that time. You know, in the late 70s and mid 70s. So it was time and place more than anything, I think. You know, because it was revolutionary from a technical standpoint. It was the first of its kind.
Yeah.
On a thousand different fronts. And it just struck a chord for that time and that generation.
And here we are.
And then, even all that, I can see it.
Here we are 100 years later and it's still going strong.
Well, and funny enough, here we are in 2017, and Mike is watching The Empire Strikes Back, feasting his eyes upon it for the first time ever.
Now, let's start at the beginning, Mike. Do we want to hear his general overview before we start breaking this down? Because I got a million questions for him.
I really don't know how to go with this.
Well, just ask some questions.
Okay. So, at the beginning of the movie, they're out there on this remote space station,
mm-hmm.
and Luke is out there in the snow.
Yeah.
On his little animal. Do you remember the name of the animal he was on?
No, I don't, but it didn't end well for him.
That was a Tauntaun.
Yeah, okay.
And it made weird noises, kind of like a lamb.
Yeah.
Okay. There are some other things that make weird noises that I want to ask you guys about, too, but
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Did you find that scene of Han Solo, Harrison Ford, going out in the middle of the night to go look for his friend and the subsequent rescue, which, you know, was bisected by him fighting off the snowman using the Force, or yes, whatever that thing was.
Mm-hmm. The Wampa.
Thank you, Ty, the Wampa. Did you find all that to be a really cool beginning of the movie?
Yeah, it was a pretty good start for it,
yeah.
I thought.
Did you like how he had to open up the Tauntaun so Luke could stay warm?
Yes.
In its guts?
Yes.
That was pretty awesome, right?
Put on the Tauntaun.
Did you enjoy the line of, and I thought these things smelled bad on the outside?
Yeah. That one stood out.
And, and so you got the sense that Luke had progressed in his training of becoming a Jedi.
It was a much more mature Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more Star Wars for grown-ups than kids.
You know what the weird part was, too, when I was a kid, is that those next two movies, those three stars aged. They looked so much older to me.
Well, Mark Hamill had a really bad car accident before they started filming, to the point where he almost died, and he had those big scars, and they had to write that in to explain why he was so scarred up.
Yeah. But they all looked older to me.
Yeah.
Leia, you know, probably because she was way into drugs and that aged her a little bit. And Harrison Ford just looked like an older man to me. But it was a definitely, yes, it was a grown-up feeling mm-hmm. from these people being kids almost.
When I think of Harrison Ford today, though, I think of the guy who's married to Ally McBeal.
I think of the guy that almost took out a 747 a couple of days ago. Get out of the air. So you had that beginning, and then you have Luke saying, it's time for me to complete my training.
Yeah.
And off he goes.
Right.
Now, were you aware at all of what was to come and the character known as Yoda? Had you ever heard of Yoda?
I had heard of Yoda. I was not terribly familiar with Yoda, but I had heard of it. And one of the reasons I had was because some years back, somebody put my face on Yoda.
Like in a picture.
Yeah.
Not in real life.
Somebody thought it would be funny to do that, and they did it.
So did you know immediately that when he found that little man that that was Yoda?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know, okay.
I did not.
Okay.
The lady friend had to coach me on this a little bit.
All right. Did she tell you right? She didn't tell you, did she?
Tell me what?
She wasn't spoiling it.
No.
All right.
I mean, she would only say something when I asked. It was just to keep me... You know,
right.
online.
Usually right. he was asking for a refill on his drink.
Well, of course.
Can I get a topper?
His Manhattan was just running a little bit low. Did you like that scene, though? The training scene and with Yoda and all that. Was that pretty cool?
Was that pretty cool, little buddy? Yeah, it was. It was. Let me just insert a couple of general thoughts about this.
Okay.
Number one, they really ramped the game up a little bit on their special effects.
No doubt. They learned so much.
For sure.
After that first episode, and they waited, what was it, three years, Ty?
Yeah, 3 years.
The technology that they invented.
Yeah.
This was all their own doing.
Yeah.
You could tell
you
that
could tell
from
that
one to
they
two.
They had taken a pretty big step. Forward there.
Right.
And anyway, all right, let's just question me further here.
Okay. So did that scene at the end of his training when Yoda told him to go into the cave and face his fears? He had to face whatever his darkest fears was. When I was a kid, nothing scared me more than him encountering Darth Vader in there. And it's hard for me to, you know, look back at that now because I've seen it so many times. But I thought that scene of, because I thought it was him as a kid. Did you guys not think that when you were a kid?
At the time, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, no, not here. But.
All right, let me say something about Darth Vader.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is amazing.
Did you ever think you would hear those words?
No.
Hell no.
Such a great day.
He really wasn't as terrible and fearsome as I imagined he would be.
But was he more fearsome in this one than he was in the first one? Because I know you kind of thought of him as kind of like, eh, in A New Hope.
Only slightly.
Okay.
I mean, you hear so much about him in that way that I thought he'd be a real unreasonable, hard-ass meanie, but he...
He is! He's the worst guy ever!
He doesn't come off that bad to me.
He feels a kindred spirit in Darth Vader. Yes. Kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Would like to go drinking with him sometime.
Whoa.
But he hadn't completed his training. And, then, like, you know, he leaves because he knows that his friends are in danger. And he senses that. And it's time for him to get the hell out of there. And he's warned that, don't do this, man. Don't cut this ass short.
Ready.
No,
right.
You were not ready yet.
Right.
And he felt that he was as ready as he was going to be. Did you find the constant back and forth with a dead person in Obi-Wan Kenobi a little bit weird?
Well, in view of the fact that Obi-Wan Kenobi was my favorite character in the first episode, I was kind of glad to get him back in there any way possible.
No matter what form it was?
Yeah.
No matter if it was... Chubbs.
But I don't know. I wouldn't say I found it weird. I guess in Star Wars, I'm looking at this, you know, with a an empty easel. Anything's
right,
possible.
Right, right. You know? And when he said in the first one, when Obi-Wan was killed by Vader and he pulls the lightsaber in and says, "You strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you ever imagined."
Yeah. I loved Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's what it was. That's why he was more powerful, because he could give this advice from
the moon,
wherever the hell he came.
Run, Luke, run.
Run, use the force.
Why am I a beetle all of a sudden?
Because he was a beetle, basically.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Billy Dee Williams?
The Colt 45 dude is Lando.
Yeah.
Do you remember his name? His full name?
Lando Caramisio or something like that, wasn't it?
Close.
There he is.
What is it?
Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, Calrissian. That's right.
Caramisio. Is that a coach for the Trailblazers? Oh, boy.
Did you enjoy that? His little...
Hey, anytime you could work Billy Dee Williams into anything, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, he was...
I liked him.
He was instantly a favorite of the fandom back in the day. Yeah. And I don't know if it was because of the Colt 45 thing. Was he already doing that?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely.
He was, okay.
Sure.
All right. Man, I loved him.
To my recollection, he was. That was the 70s, the Colt 45 stuff, right? Or was it after that?
It had to have been the 70s.
Okay.
But what did he do before... Star Wars.
Black movies?
Yeah, blaxploitation.
He was a blaxploitation guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Like Fred Williamson and Pam Grier and all that?
So. Rudy Ray Moore.
Except I never could really get an adequate handle, and I'm still kind of confused on whether he's a good guy or a bad guy.
He's a good guy. He's a bad dude that he basically won that planet, or that station in a poker game, right, Ty?
Yes.
That's how he acquired that, and
they
he was
poker in Star Wars,
well, some type of space gambling,
space poker.
But he was a bad guy, and there was bad. There's no doubt he was doing illegal things
he's
on that planet.
He's a bad guy, like Han Solo's a bad guy,
right? But he's got a big heart.
Yeah, he's got a good heart, and he got blackmailed or coerced into doing the bad thing that he did by the
Vader.
Empire. But then tried to make up for it as best he could.
Yes, he did.
Tried to right his wrong.
All right, let's take a break because I want to get his views on the last, 30 minutes, the climactic ending with the fight between Vader and the
information that's revealed.
Yes, the revelation. This guy says hearing Mike praise Darth Vader is like hearing Trump praise Putin.
I'll take that.
Oh, man. All right. So we're in the middle of Mike reviewing The Empire Strikes Back. He's never seen it before. Saw Star Wars a couple months ago, and now we're in part two for Empire. So overall, before we get to the last 30 minutes or so of the movie, did you enjoy this more than you did the original?
No, I don't think I did. And I don't really get why it's considered better than the original by you big Star Wars heads.
Just hearing you talk and describe the movie sounds like
you liked it better. You have more good things to say about as we break it down part by part.
On the other hand, I watched it twice, once when I wasn't drinking. So.
Right. Yeah.
Get down on it.
We are worried about you.
Drunk Star Wars. All right, so let's get to the last 30 minutes. When finally you have what Star Wars fans were really waiting on until that moment, and that is the confrontation between Luke Skywalker, the young Jedi, and Darth Vader. And you knew enough about Vader at that point, and you knew enough about Luke at that point from a father's standpoint, or lack thereof. And I can't remember as a kid what I knew or didn't know going into it. Can you put yourself back in that place and think whether or not you knew what was coming?
No, I didn't know, man. When he issued the line, I among everybody else in the theater just gasped.
Yes. When he starts saying "search your feelings."
Search your feelings.
Did you have any idea that was coming?
I kind of did.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you know it from just absorbing it or just the way it was building up?
Just the way it was building up.
I think as an adult, you would recognize that. I think we were small enough to where...
I was like 11 or 12.
No, I know, but you still don't get a lot of things...
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
of that.
Right.
Well, there are those who would say I'm 11 or 12, too.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, was that
I like dinosaurs.
To me, I still think of that scene of when... Oh, God, we're not even... We haven't even gotten to the part of Han Solo being frozen and Jabba the Hutt being introduced.
Yeah, what'd you think of that? Did you like Jabba the Hutt?
Yeah, it's really neat to finally do the name face thing with all these pop culture references that I've heard all these
right,
years.
Right, I bet.
This.
I bet.
How did you go through life when people go, man, that chick looks like Jabba the Hutt? You're just kind of like, all right.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I had no idea what they were talking
saying.
About. Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, that was, to me, that was another stroke of Lucasfilm genius because, and there, you know, there are documentaries where they show you how Jabba the Hutt worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a living, breathing thing. It wasn't this CGI type thing. That really
Jabba actually was in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, God, am I...
That's the beginning?
Oh, that's the beginning, right. So, wait, they froze him, and then they met Jabba, and okay, sorry.
Spoiler alert.
So he wasn't in this?
He was mentioned a lot, right?
Yes, and he probably saw him if you gave him the special edition where they did the CGI Jabba in Star Wars.
I gave him whatever the new trilogy Blu-ray is,
yeah.
So there's a chance
so
that
is
it's
he in that?
There.
Yeah,
I saw something that I wound up thinking was him.
Was the it big a big snail-looking slug guy?
Yeah.
He is in that one, the one that they added all the dumb extra scenes
At
to.
What point is he in it, though? Because I don't remember seeing that, and I've seen the...
In the first one, it's when Han Solo is going back to get the Millennium Falcon ready for Luke and Ben to show up and them to leave to go to Alderaan, and they added that scene where they put in the CGI Jabba where he confronts him and tells him that if he doesn't
That's
pay him
right.
his money, he'll put a bounty on his head.
That's
then
right.
Boba Fett ends up capturing him, right?
Yes.
Freezes his ass.
So that you did see him.
Now, Boba Fett's in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Not Jabba, Boba.
All right, question.
Yeah.
What is Ben? Exactly.
Ben Kenobi.
He's Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's his...
He didn't go by Obi-Wan.
Pseudonym.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like in the
Obi-Wan's his Jedi name, but in A New Hope, he went by Ben. Remember, because if you remember, he asked him who Obi-Wan can... Obi-Wan, that's a name I haven't heard in years.
Yeah.
He went by Ben. It's the same person. It's Alec Guinness.
Okay.
Yeah. And Luke called him Ben.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. All right, so...
Who's Ben? That's awesome.
That fight, though, when... You know, basically he traps Luke in the same place that he trapped Han, correct? Like, Luke backs up into that...
The freezing chamber.
Yeah, into the freezing chamber. And from that moment on, I thought that that fight was pretty spectacular between the two of them before the reveal.
Right.
Like, it was really cool. Now, it's not like it is today where basically not only do you have just basic... lightsaber battles, everything's kung fu based.
They're bouncing off the walls.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little more simple, but still, that was a kick-ass fight for its time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it.
And, I mean, but even though you could feel that coming on where you're like, wow, that's Luke's father.
That, I thought things might be headed that way, but I didn't know there was going to be a big reveal like that.
Right. With his arm cut off and all that.
Yeah.
And sitting there and, I'll never follow you! Or whatever he said. I don't know. That's...
Grab him by the...
I don't know. On the whole, I didn't... There was something that the first one had that I don't think this had quite as much. I think it was just the charm and innocence of the whole thing, because like when it first came out, if I understand things right, they had no idea that this was going to take on the
zero
significance that it did, right?
I mean, they had plans for more movies, but they didn't think it was going to take on the cultural significance that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Their hope was
I don't know, there's just kind of a, I guess, an innocence, if you will, in the first one that I didn't pick up on so much this time around. And I'll bet it gets harder and harder to
recapture that?
To recapture that as the series goes on. That's what it usually is with this stuff.
It's got a darker, more serious tone to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why a lot of people like it more, I think.
It definitely had that.
It's because it's the middle act, and they were building to something, and you didn't get the payoff you got in Star Wars, where you had the Death Star blowing up. And I don't know about you, when I was a little kid, and the movie's over, and you're like, what? I don't get a resolution for 3 years?
Right, and that was part of, you know, being a little kid, that like when you just see him being picked up at the bottom of whatever that planet is.
Bottom.
Or whatever that station is, and you're like, "Wow, that is it. That's really it." And yep. It's not like the Death Star blowing up, but just the reveal of Vader was enough. That was enough to just be like, "Oh my God, how did anybody keep that a secret too at school when kids went and saw that?" You know.
All right, now can I tell you three things I found annoying?
Yes.
Yes.
One was Chewbacca.
You hate Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Why do you hate him?
Don't hate him. I just find him a little bit annoying. I understand his purpose. He's kind of the heavy. But he does nothing except make noises like that.
He can't speak, Mike. He's a basic gorilla.
Okay, then make him mute. Don't have him running around making noises. The other was R2-D2.
You hate R2-D2?
Well, I don't hate him, but it bothers me a little bit that he just consistently slides around making computer sounds.
And if you believe an actor got paid to sit in that thing and turn the head, that was...
There's a human being in there. To slide around and make computer sounds.
Yeah. Computer noises?
Sounds.
Sounds, yeah. That's his main function.
But you desperately need him. He is so important to the story.
What purpose does he serve? What's he doing for anybody?
Well, first off, in the first one, you forget, he got them out of the garbage dump.
The trash compactor.
Yeah, the trash compactor. When they were all stuck in there and the water and the creature was in there, he's the one that made the walls go back.
He's the one carrying the Death Star plans.
Yes, right. He's carrying the Death Star plans. He's the one that showed them initially. He's the one that activated the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
He is very central to it. He also...
Yeah, no, that's right. He did do that.
Yes. He was flying with Luke in the Death Star, when they blew up the Death Star. And he was his robot helping him out.
Co-pilot, man.
Yeah.
He's very important to the story. And continues to be.
He's probably the most functional character in the whole damn thing as far as contributing something.
I'm surprised C-3PO didn't...
Well, he did too.
Was that the third thing?
That's the third thing.
Chewbacca, R2-D... You don't like non-humans in this thing, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Don't forget Pajamagram.
I mean, I understand C-3PO's function, but...
Who?
There was just a... Is that not right?
No, you got it right.
You're close.
Close enough.
Oh, my God.
But there was just a lot of it. I mean, he doesn't know when to shut up.
No, he doesn't. You know, he's kind of a ninny.
Yeah, he's the overtalker.
I think he's gay. I think he's a gay robot.
Maybe so. Gay tendencies, at least.
The effeminate, infeminate gold robot. So what's your review on C-3PO?
I don't know. He just kind of bugged me because of that. He doesn't know when to shut up. I mean, just he's consistently commentating on everything that's going on when a lot of that stuff doesn't require that. You see it.
I know why you don't like him, because he loves engaging in small talk and chit chat.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
He does.
And he's British.
Small talk and chit chat.
Man, I never thought that I would hear him say, though, that Vader wasn't that imposing of a figure, that Chewbacca. But you love animals, too. Chewbacca's like, he's the perfect hybrid.
He's a puppy dog.
He's so nice, but he's strong and
very loyal.
If he just didn't make such noises, the good puppy dog doesn't make noises like that.
He can't speak.
He does speak. He speaks in Wookiee.
And Han understands it.
Yes.
You know, Han can understand everything he says.
Yeah.
That's his best friend.
I guess that makes him necessary to the thing.
He's very necessary.
And he's got a crossbow.
And he's got the Rambo bullets and all that. He's a badass. And you know who plays him? A guy named Peter Mayhew, who lives here.
Yes. That I do know.
The old 7-footer that lives here.
Yeah. We brought him up here before, haven't we? Wasn't he on the Bob and Dan show or something?
Yes.
Yeah, we had him. When I was working with Chris, we had him up, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's getting around very well anymore, is he?
No, he's very limited.
Yeah. That's what happens to a 7-footer.
What did you think about in the beginning, those giant walking robots that they had to fly cords around their legs to get them to fall over in the snow?
The bad guys that had the big thing.
The Imperial Walkers? Remember them?
Yeah.
They were just long-legged things with, like, little cars on top, basically. And they walked. And then, you know, they looked very... When I first saw those, scary. I was like, oh, how are you ever going to get those down?
When they see them coming out of their long-range binoculars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't know what they are.
That's too. Okay, where's this going now? How are they going to get those guys down from there?
Pretty badass, though. They flew around it with a little wire.
With the cable. Yeah.
Just tripped them. Simple physics.
So, a scale to 1 to 10, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd give it a B plus. No, I think
here we go.
I think I'd just give it a B.
Okay.
No, I'd give it a B plus.
All right, so let's just say before the compound in May, you can watch Return of the Jedi. And then you'll be done.
You can be done. We're not going to ask you to start this new mess.
Although, no, not the other three. But
screw those. But maybe Force Awakens at some point?
Force Awakens and Rogue One?
Mm-hmm.
Force.
All right.
Good job, Mike.
More Star Wars.
Good job.